Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos for Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Pero adivina qué, Mimi, lo hicimos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
How's it going, Babs?
It's going. Trying to stay busy. Trying to be positive. And it's going. How are you?
It's also going. You know, I'm just going to be 100% honest from the very beginning because I don't know how else to do this, but I was going to try to make this episode like fun because I know everybody's going through a lot right now.
Right.
But I just got a phone call from one of my best friends, Thomas, who lives in New York. And so I just want to just talk honestly about what I'm feeling and about what's happening because I think that's just the best way to spread actual information and actually affect and help people.
Right.
So, I just got off the phone with him and he has COVID-19, the novel coronavirus. He is in New York and I asked him if I could share this with everybody and he said yes because like a lot of people have been saying, this is affecting people at a very rapid rate and eventually everybody will know somebody that's been affected by it. So now you all know, all Latinos Who Lunch listeners. So please, if you're not taking it seriously, this is your message.
This is
right?
Real.
So,
yeah.
This is real. So Thomas is a very healthy person and he has actually been quarantined, like self-quarantined or self-isolating for over 2 weeks now. He did go to the store one time, but also his partner, she had to go to work, much like a lot of us. We have to go to work. We can't stop working.
Right.
And a lot of people at her work were also, infected and are sick. So, she might be a carrier. She's showing no symptoms. So again, you can be carrying it and you can have zero symptoms. Let me just say that again. You can be carrying coronavirus and not have any symptoms and be giving it to people in your house, to people in your family. So that's probably most likely what happened. And so he is doing okay. His doctor actually told him to stay home because he has a larger risk of infecting other people if he goes to the hospital and he's past the worst part of it. But he said he had a very light fever, almost not noticeable, and didn't realize what was happening until, you know, it was kind of too late and he freaked out and he called his doctor.
Damn.
So he's breathing just fine. He drinks hot tea and lemon and he can hold his breath for 10 seconds. And guess what, Mimi's? He has coronavirus. So everybody... Everybody just be very careful and please take it seriously to stay home because unfortunately some of his family members are really sick. One of them has passed away. My mother has a coworker that just passed away, which really freaked her out and freaked all of us out in our family. So I just want to start by saying that because, you know, on Latinos Who Lunch, for example, like during this whole political campaign season, we've stayed not apolitical, but we haven't endorsed anybody or really talked about anything because we wanted this to be like a place, a safe space for us to just have fun and hang out and talk. But we can't pretend that there's not a pandemic happening right now. And maybe hearing it from us or from me and will change your mind. I'm still trying to convince my grandma not to come back from Mexico, but she wants to come back next week, and it's like the height of what's going on here in Las Vegas next week. So I don't know.
It seems like the height is going to come in the next couple of weeks, and it's getting dangerous. And like I'm teaching online, and I just encourage my students all the time to take care of your elders. Like always, be watchful of your elders, because that's the always a section of the population that gets forgotten, and those are the people that are dying the fastest. So this is very, very, very important. But as you say, like, it can be any of us. And for those of you who may not know, Thomas is a dear, dear friend of the podcast. It was because of him that we got one of our first gigs in Wellesley. He made it possible for us to go to NYU. He's always supported. So, Thomas, we love you. Stay strong. Thank you for letting us share your message. And this means a lot to us. And again, everybody, please be mindful. Like, I also had to go to the store because you have to survive. And I've noticed, like, the distancing in people, a lot of people don't give a fuck. And, you know, like, it's biting us in the ass. So just please be very mindful.
I'm going to put a pin in that. And just, I want to end the statement with, Thomas wanted me to tell everybody, because until nobody in his family took it seriously until his family started getting sick.
Right.
And if he can stop y'all from going out for no fucking reason, this is it. Tell your parents, tell your aunts and uncles, tell your abuelos that don't believe that it's actually happening, because they're, believe it or not, there is still people cutting onions in their house and blow drying their mouths and drinking limon and thinking they're fine to just live their lives like normal.
Right.
Like, please, people, just stay the fuck home if you can. I also want to stress that I understand that not all of us have that privilege. So if you have to go out, please just take the necessary precautions. Thank you. That being said, bitch, I went to the store yesterday and let me tell you, fuck white people. Oh my God. I was so angry. Okay. Listen, this is what happened, okay?
Okay.
I was like, I'm not going out. I'm not leaving the house. I haven't left the house in 2 weeks. I don't want to put anybody at risk. Like, wada, wada, wada. My, like, white Latina came out, right? And so I had this huge Instacart order that I put in last week to come this week. And then I saw what was happening with Amazon and Instacart and all these companies that are treating their employees like animals, or actually worse than animals, because white people treat animals better than us.
Right.
But, and so I'm like, fuck Instacart. I know that a lot of the people from Amazon in New York went on strike. So I canceled my order. And I'm literally out of food. So I had to go to the store. So I'm like, I'm going to go stock up. So I went to the grocery store yesterday. Let me tell you, there's people walking around that don't give a fuck still. Like, there's this old man. I went to the store, mm-hmm. and there was this old man that was, like, so close to me several times that I had to tell him to step the fuck back. And he looked at me like I was crazy. There was literally signs every 10 feet in the store, please stay 6 feet away from everybody. And he was like breathing on my fucking neck in the line.
Ugh.
Please, if you go to the grocery store, stay 6 feet away from people. If you're going to be in line, keep that in mind. Wait behind people. Don't get close to them. Don't bring your own bags to the grocery stores. I'm sorry, you're going to have to use plastic bags. Use your credit cards, don't use cash. Use common sense, people. Don't be a fucking idiot. Okay. Anyway, I went grocery shopping yesterday, uh-huh. and it was very, very stressful. And I'm over here on my grandma's side of town, which is a nicer side of town. And I feel like people are acting crazier in nicer places of town, because these white people are acting like nothing can affect them.
I see it all across the board, man. Like, I feel like from last week to this week, people are a little bit more mindful. But as my sister says, she works at a big pharmacy company, and she's like, the WAG is on fire and people don't give a fuck, and there's like lines on the floor, nobody's respecting them. And that's crazy when you see, again, your elders not giving a fuck, when you're like, no, bitch, I'm doing this for you. Because if I get this shit, it's bad. But if you get this shit, it's really bad. It's infuriating. The only thing you can do is protect yourself and protect others. And that's it, man. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
yeah, stay in the house if you can. Take walks, you know. It's great. It's great. Just stay away from people right now. And hopefully this will be under control soon because, you know, again, I don't need to say all this shit. You've all heard it. If you're on the internet, you've all heard it. Like, if we had a different administration right now, this would have been taken seriously weeks ago and we could already be, like, in a safer space. But we're not. We're a very capitalist country. People have to keep making money, blah, blah, blah. And they don't give a fuck about us. So this is definitely, like, people are really showing their asses right now. And it's really sad. It's really depressing. And I just want to tell everybody, like, it's okay not to be as productive right now. Because I see a lot of people posting on social media, like, all these things. And, you know, like, okay, time to reorganize my house. No, if you just want to fucking be in a dark room and watch Tiger King and eat, do that. That's fine. And please, I'm not doing a fucking Instagram challenge. Stop sending me those fucking Instagram challenges. First of all, I haven't done a push-up since 1997. And then, for all you people taking shots, like, alcoholism is real, bitch. I'm not trying to take shots when I'm by myself during a pandemic. Stop sending me those fucking challenges. Thank you so much. Okay.
Well, with that said, why did you go to the grocery store? What have you been eating?
Well, the last thing that I made was before I went to the grocery store. I was so stressed out yesterday after the store that I didn't even eat anything. I literally just, like, disinfected all the groceries. I left everything that's, like, non-perishable in the garage, and I just, like, was like, I'm just gonna go to sleep. This is crazy. Anyway, so before that, you know what? You know who was ready for this pandemic? My grandma was ready because I literally haven't been shopping for a month, and there was enough food for me for a whole month without going shopping at my grandma's house.
Bless.
There was arroz, frijoles secos, chile seco. There was queso in the freezer. There was meat in the freezer, vegan meat, of course. And like, she even has dried milk. Like, for what? I don't know. And you better believe that her garage was fully stocked with toilet paper. Some of that toilet paper looks like it's older than me, but she has a lot of toilet paper in the garage. She had a secret stash of peanut butter. You know, my grandma was ready. So last week, actually, I made a big crock pot of pinto beans and pork. So I made pork and beans. And I had been eating those for basically the whole week. And they were really good. They were delicious. And I also made some, there was potatoes and carne seca. So I made, like, guisado.
Yum.
With potatoes and carne seca. There was no chile. I wish there was chile, but I have chile now, so I can make it now.
Vegan carne seca?
But, you know, of course. Oh, okay, course.
Just want to make sure.
I mean, you know, Northern Mexico specializes in vegan carne seca. So, but that's, like, my favorite. You know, like, when you get, like, the diced potatoes. I actually made it on Instagram Live with Eva. We did a little cooking show last week. Shout out to Eva from De Colores Radio. She's been my quarantine queen. We've been talking every day and doing little fun things like that. So I cut up a bunch of potatoes, kind of, like, just sauteed them with onion because I had a little bit of onion left. And I put some spices on there. And then she had queso ranchero in the freezer, so I put that in and with the carne seca, mixed it all together. It was delicious. So I have stuff like that. I ran out of eggs, too, so normally I would, you know, crack a couple eggs on top of there and make it a scramble. That's really good, too.
Pero están bien caros ahorita, man.
Some places, yeah, for sure. How about you? What have you been eating?
So I am in a house with four people, maybe? Five people? We are in California, so we've been here for almost 2 weeks, and that's all we do. We eat, and when we eat, we talk about what we're going to eat next, and so forth, and so forth. And I hadn't really cooked, because trying to transfer my class online was a task, and I was like, oh, it's easy, I'll just record videos. And no, it actually took all of my time. Last week, but I figured it out.
Yeah, girl, I can't imagine.
And So I didn't cook. So finally, I was like, you know what? These people, and by these people, I mean my husband's family. Like, the family has been cooking a lot, and I haven't done shit. It's my turn. And, you know, I went to my queen, Maria Tavares, and I saw a video of tacos sudados. And I was like, fucking, this is going to be the shit. And let me tell you how she did it. And that's exactly how I did it. Hijo de su madre, se me hace agua la boca just thinking about it. So she takes she first has a lot of guisados. So we made a guisado of chicharrón verde chicharrón con chile verde. And then I made picadillo con chile rojo. And picadillo is ground meat with potatoes. And I made a red salsa desde scratch, como dice mi suegra. And then I made beans, refritos. I made papa and then queso. And then you dip the tortilla in oil and you fry it just lightly. The idea is for it to be a little, like, not a little hard, but not too much. And then after that, you dip the tortilla that was just fried in salsa roja. And then you fill it with the different guisados. And we had 5 guisados, so we made little pouches with papel aluminio, like packages of 5 little tacos. And then you put them in the packages, and then you add them to la vaporera, la misma olla que usas para los tamales. And we stack that shit up, cover it for an hour, and then, güey, los taquitos estaban como derritiendo, and you put a salsa verde on top with pickled onions, and my husband did. Bitch, I ate so much I couldn't sleep. I had a heartburn for fucking hours and hours and hours. But I did not care because it was so, so, so good. And I also got ready for my tacos callejeros, which I talked about in the podcast before. But I want tacos every fucking day. So that's what I've been eating. Just tacos of lo que se me ocurra, de bologna, de carne asada, de lo que piensa. So I've been eating a lot. And maybe 4 days ago, I started to feel it. I was like, man, I have done nothing but work and eat. So I went out for a walk. I went for just like 15-minute walk. And then I started going again with exercise because I was feeling it, man. I was starting to get in a bad mood. And I'm just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. All I'm doing is fucking eating. But now that I finally have my shit together with my classes, now I have a little bit more time to actually do what I like, which is write my own scholarship and exercise. So it's been okay, but last week was a little bit crazy. But eating and eating and eating, man. Eating and eating. And that's it.
Yes. Well, you know, food, it comforts a lot of people, baby, and we need comfort right now.
Right.
So keep eating, America. No.
Porque todos comemos.
Porque todos comemos. Oh, yeah. Who said that?
Cynthia.
Jessica Wilde.
No, Jessica Wilde, yes.
It was Jessica. We interviewed Jessica Wilde one time, and she's like, I see Latinos who lunch porque todos comemos. I love Jessica Wilde. Oh my God. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's get to the listener letters. We have a lot of them, and I want to get through as many as we can. So we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back. Yo, Babelito.
Dígame.
I want to take this moment to thank our Patreon familia. If you don't know, you probably should know already. Latinos Who Lunch is on Patreon. We're also on PayPal. But if you want to donate on Patreon, you can be part of our Patreon family. There's different levels. We have our Amiga level for just $1 a month. You get a shout out on the show. We have our
Comadre level for $3. You get a shout out and also get exclusive access for an episode every month. And finally,
that's right, you get a bonus episode. And then our Madrina level, not only get a bonus episode, you get a shout out, you also get extra content, you get access to our merch. We're actually going to, if we put out merch in the next few months, which we are going to do, you will get it for free at the Madrina level. You'll be the first ones to get it. So if you are a Madrina, please go onto your Patreon profile and update it so that your address is on there so we can send you something. If you don't update your profile on Patreon, I'll just assume that you're that kind and you don't want any gifts, you know, you don't live in a material world. Just we're the only ones that do, right? Anyway, right. Let's take this moment to thank all of our madrinas. Pablito, you want to start?
We start with the madrinas? Okay. So Alejandra N, shout out to you, girl. Thank you so much for your support.
Ana H, hey, thank you.
Annette R, come on, girl. Thank you again.
Chris V, thanks.
Daisy Zoo, muchísimas gracias.
Dora P, hi.
Hillary, and we love you, girl. Thank you.
Indira, H-E, thanks.
Jessica A, gracias.
Jorge, Jorge A, hi.
Luis R, muchísimas, muchísimas gracias, amigo.
Thank you, Luis. Maria R-M.
Miguel C, gracias.
Thanks, girl. Nancy M. M, thank you.
Natalia O, muchísimas thank yous.
Natalia, I've always liked that name. It's like Natalia. It's like soap opera. I love it. Roberto R, gracias.
Rosaura, fuck it. Thank you, Rosaura.
Stephanie B, love you. Listen to All Rice, No Beans on your podcast platforms.
And last but not least, Vanessa T, thank you very much. And thank you to all the madrinas for being part of the Familia of Latino Solange. As we mentioned before, we could not do this without you. Muchísimas, muchísimas gracias a todos.
And that's Vanessa T, actually. Okay, thanks. And we're back. Okay, let's get to those emails. We're getting caught up. We're still on emails from last year, but don't worry, 2020 is near. But let's get to them. You want to go first, Babs, or do you want me to?
You go first.
Okay, our first letter is from Blanca, and it's titled, A New Loteria? Hello, LWL. I love you and don't always agree with what you're saying, but I love that you're saying it because it gives me an opportunity to argue in the car when I'm by myself driving down the highway. Same girl. I want to bring your attention to a new millennial loteria. All right. I think I've seen. Have you seen that, Pablito, the millennial loteria?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you all want, you can Google it. And she says, I always cringe when El Negrito, La Dama, El Valiente, El Catrín, and El Apache show up. They reinforce negative stereotypes. The Dama is always white. The Apache is always holding a bow and arrow, reinforcing the savage, violent way they perceive indigenous people. Don't get me started with what's wrong with the Negrito. Look up black stereotypes. El Valiente is always a white man. El Borracho is clearly brown. There is a lot wrong with La Loteria. For me, it is a childhood favorite, and it brings my family together. But simply because it's traditional doesn't mean it isn't problematic and shouldn't be called out. Mm-hmm. We are the generation that will address what everyone else wants to sweep under the rug. I don't know if this loteria game is it, though. Maybe something that actually addresses the problems and not just another substitute for what's wrong in the first place, in my opinion. Okay, emoji with a brown hand, smiley face woman with a bob haircut with brown skin emoji. Please let's talk about this. Also, my sincerest apologies for this ridiculous new game on behalf of millennials. We are young and stupid, but we still get it. But we still get it right some days. Thanks, Blanca.
Are we really the generation that is going to address all this bullshit? I don't know, but I'm glad you're addressing it. And lucky for you, if you actually go into our episode 137. We address all of this shit. And shout out to Cynthia Neri Lewis, who was our guest, who wrote her thesis on La Loteria and the long colonial history of castas. She actually was teaching abroad and she got stuck there for a while, but she's back home safe in California. Shout out to you, Cynthia. We love you. But yes, the Loteria is hella problematic and we get into it in that episode.
Yeah, so please listen to the Loteria episode. Just to touch on it a little bit now while we have people listening, though. Yeah, it's something that I think about a lot, especially recently. I think for years, I just saw that you know, I saw it as a family tradition and I didn't think anything of it. But
right.
Yeah, the more you look into it, the more fucked up it is. Doesn't mean we stop playing it. Yeah, why not? It's not that hard to find other games. But,
right.
And that's like the biggest thing. I remember teaching once a class on modernism, and I was about to talk about Gauguin. And Gauguin is this French artist who went to French Polynesia in the early 20th century, and he was horrible. And I said, I don't want to give this fool the benefit of the doubt, so I'm just going to tell you that he was horrible. And somebody raised their hand, and they're like, oh, but his colors are so beautiful. I'm like, I'm sure there are other artists whose colors are beautiful. Like, fuck, like, we can't divorce ourselves from this shit. Just because it's the canon doesn't mean that we have to follow it all the fucking time, you know? Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Guess who else painted really beautiful paintings? Hitler, bitch. So
and George Bush.
And George Bush? Oh my god, his paintings are really beautiful, but guess what? They're awful people. And guess what? I'm not gonna buy their art. This is the thing. This is a great opportunity to talk about this. Like, oh my god, Michael Jackson. But he wrote Thriller. R. Kelly, are you kidding me? I still believe I can fly. Like, guess what, Mimi? There's so many other artists that you could be supporting. That's when people tell me, like, what, you're just gonna throw all your Bill Cosby records away? Because, you know, I used to be a big Bill Cosby fan.
Right.
And I said, yeah, I'm just gonna do that because there's so many other comedians that I can support that weren't drugging women and assaulting them.
Right.
Like, so you're gonna not watch every movie Harvey Weinstein produced? Guess what? If I do that, there's thousands of other movies that I can still watch.
Millions, it's not, bitch.
It's not that hard, right? And yes, if you start Google, this is my favorite thing to do. If you Google somebody's name, like a celebrity or a director or something, you know, or an influencer or whatever, and the word racist next to it, you better believe that shit is going to pop up.
Right.
And once you find that, you can't unlearn that. So either you're being willfully ignorant, and hey, sometimes I've been known to do that. That's fine. You just ignore things and you just keep watching them because you love them so much. And that's okay. But don't come over here preaching that you're the wokest of the wokest and that you never fucking sleep and you're an insomniac because social justice and brown, you know, I can go on and on and on. But yeah, it's something that we have to juggle in our heads. But guess what? Ever since I saw that R. Kelly documentary, guess who I haven't listened to? Guess who's on fucking mute? Him and Michael Jackson. I don't give a fuck about them, and that's okay. Same with Loteria. Actually, last year, my cousin made Loteria. Shout out to my cousin Gabby. She actually printed a new Loteria with all of our family's faces on it instead.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really fun. So we're already, in my family, playing a new version of Loteria that we made ourselves. It's really easy. You could just do a Brady Bunch grid on a fucking computer and put people's pictures on it and print them out. Like, it's really easy to do. So
yeah, and if you're gonna, that's perfect. Like, if you're gonna keep engaging with this shit, like, use it as an opportunity to talk about these things. And we've gotten letters in the past where they're like, where listeners are asking, how do they start a conversation? You know, how do they start a conversation about race, gender, and class in the dinner table? I mean, this is an opportunity for that. So there are ways to address it, but it's also, God, there's so much out there. When I'm thinking about music, I always think of what a friend of mine told me years ago. He said, I don't listen to anything that is coming out right now because we won't realize what the good shit is until 20 years from now when people are going back to the archives and reviving shit that nobody cared about and realize that that was the real stuff, that was the real influential stuff. And it's always happened. We live, maybe not 20 years before now, but we live in this cyclical times that every 10 years we rediscover and realize and we actually value things that we didn't before because it wasn't considered canon. So when it comes to movies, when it comes to influencers, when it comes to music, just wait 10 years and you realize that they are not that essential. That there's other people underneath them that are doing way more interesting things. And that goes with everything that is right on the surface and that we're always consuming. So we can live without the loteria, but if you do, yes, use it as an excuse to have these important conversations.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, next.
This is a letter from Willie, and it's called Finding Community as a Biracial Hispanic. Here we go again.
I don't know why that makes me laugh.
My racial identity is both white and Puerto Rican. Okay. And my complexion is rather pale. I'm café con a lot of leche, Mimi.
Wait, isn't that... nationality? Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I'm definitely a white passing Hispanic, though not quite TV Italian like Favi and J-Lo. Growing up, I spent more time with my Hispanic family than I did with my white family. So being around other Latinx people and culture always feels like home to me wherever I am. However, I have trouble fitting in with other Latinx people because I am quote-unquote too white or not Hispanic enough. My fluency in Spanish also isn't the strongest. My family deliberately didn't teach it to me because they didn't want me to know the shit they were up to. So I didn't learn it until I took classes in high school and college. Rude. I can hold a conversation and understand, but I still really am slow. Even growing up, my Puerto Rican family teased me about how white I was, even though they weren't that much tanner than me or whole family is passing, but I digress. I left home 10 years ago and have moved several times since. I really miss the community I had when I was younger and want to find a Latinx community to be part of because there's something very fundamental about who I am that my white friends just don't get. How would you recommend other biracial Hispanics to go about finding communities in a manner that is both respectful and genuine? Lots of love, Willie. Thank you, Willie, for your letter. Hijo de su madre. How do you find community? I don't know, man. Sometimes when you're Latino and this is who you are, it's just who you are. My problem with this type of emails, man, is that we're so stuck up with the color of the skin and only the color of the skin, right?
That's what I was getting like kind of cringe moments with this idea. Also, like Hispanic biracial, that's also, I don't know, like to think of identity in that way.
It's limiting. It's limiting.
It's limiting, yeah.
Yeah, it's limiting to our communities. And the problem is that we've been raised in this country understanding race in that binary system because the binary is fucking real in the United States. And that shit affects a lot of people, most specifically black people. But again, as you know, when it comes to talking about race in Latin America, and we've said this so many fucking times, it's so fucking complicated. And color is just one aspect. I mean, of course, it is important because it affects a lot of people, but it's just one aspect of how your identity is, you know, it's discussed, it's managed, it's performed. So for all those people that do not consider Latino enough because you're too white, fuck them. You know, that's the places where you shouldn't be looking for community. And the community is going to, I mean, it's just going to come. I don't know. I don't think there's a formula of how to behave and how to perform your identity in order to find larger communities. I will say start with your family. Like, you will be surprised the type of things and the type of communities. And we always have to talk about communities in plural because everybody's like, oh, my community this. No, bitch, there's a lot of different communities, a lot of different perspectives, and a lot of different ways of understanding the world. And you will be surprised to find out how your family's involvement in different communities really is part of their identity. So I will say start looking there.
That's good advice, Babs. Wow, you really surprised me on that one.
Andele, pues.
I was going to say, Latinidad is canceled, bitch. So I don't know why you're trying to be Latino so hard. It's been canceled since last year, actually. Thanks to all the white Latinos that canceled Latinidad for everybody. Shout out to America. And who's the other one? Gina Rodriguez. All of you.
Get a blood test, and hopefully you'll have a little bit of Korean blood, because that's the new thing right now. So like, just go
I'm
into that.
I'm pretty sure you're black. I'm pretty sure you're black. Yeah, you know what? Latinidad is canceled. Just be Asian. It's really hot right now. Okay, next question. Hector says, Que show. Saludos. My wife, Carla, and I listen to your podcast and love it. We're always looking for LWL content and combing through your library for oldies but goodies. We have been looking for and still have not found any evidence on the origin story of Babelito's famous and unique opening line of, pardon the spelling, Que show. K-show. I apologize if you have already covered this, but my wife and I have appropriated it in our greeting to each other and our friends. That is so sweet.
That's awesome.
We always wonder what it means. We love it, and we love you guys. Keep up the great work. Best regards, Carla y Hector.
We discussed it, but I think it was one of the very early episodes.
Yeah.
It's just the way that my sister and her friends greeted each other in Juarez. They actually had a friend. Her name is El Güeros, because he was speaking of white Latinos. Pero El Güeros only lived, I mean, he lived in his house, pero no lo dejaban salir. So he will actually sell weed out of his window. So you will have to, he said, y si quiere algo, mija, nomás tóqueme. Güeros, Güeros, Güeros. He will say everything 3 times. And I always think of them. So I remember, like, as a kid watching my sister, a teenager, I was like, que show. And I thought they were the coolest fucking people back then, you know? So when it came down to finding, like, a greeting for the podcast, you adopted RuPaul's. And I was like, oh, I'm going to say que show. But I'm going to say it 3 times. One, because of El Güeros, rest in peace. And also because of, because of RuPaul. So that's what it is.
I actually adopted it from Lisa Kudrow from The Comeback, but because RuPaul is a colonizer and I don't want him to be any more part of my life than he already is. Thank you so much.
Love it.
Do you know the drama with RuPaul right now?
Yeah. No, pero me imagino. Cuéntame.
He has all this land in Montana or something, Wyoming. I don't know, one of those states. Shout out to all our listeners out there. Sorry, I don't know states. And I think it's Wyoming. You know his, like, hot Australian husband? He has a ranch out there. Yep. And they like, go out there to, like, fuck in a barn and, like, play cowboy. And so he has all this land, and he sold the mineral rights to his land, and they're fracking on it.
No, you know mames. No, I'm done. I'm completely done.
Do you know? You've been done, bitch. Don't act like this is your
fucking
moment.
But I still give him the benefit of the doubt. I love the SNL skits. Like, I watch them and rewatch them. But now, ugh, this is fucking gross.
He sold his mineral rights. Do you know what fracking is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's to get minerals out of the land from, like, ¿cómo se llama? Como inyectarles, like pressured the gases out of the land.
Okay, so you don't know what it means.
Es algo así, güey.
Google it, locas. Yeah, it's drilling, and sometimes they use explosives, and they just, like, start blowing up land to extract minerals, and then they use a shit ton of water to wash everything away and expose the land. It's really fucked up. There's a lot of that going on in Northern Nevada. So, so RuPaul is okay with that. And so, you know, we always knew he was a capitalist, but, you know, he's really going all the way. Back to the question, que show. Just to be clear, it's que, like the word what, que, Q-U-E, and then show, like
el Johnny Canales show, you know? Yes.
So, like, que show, like, what's happening? That's what que show means. Okay.
Andale,
go ahead.
Pues,
next question.
Me toca. This is from Magda, titled Checking Box. Hola, Fabi. Hola, Babelix. My name is Magda, a 23-year-old mom to a biracial baby who is Mexican.
Hey, here we go. This is the biracial episode, baby.
Who is Mexican Italian. Como dijo Fabi in the ABC's episode, La O de Olive Garden.
When you're at Magda's house, your family.
Stupid. Okay. I was listening to episode 102. La biblioteca está abierta. You were talking about the use of the term Latino versus Hispanic. I heard a comment about how in the 50s, Latinx people had to identify as white. Well, locas, in the year of our Lord 2018, when signing up to work for my local school district, I got a firsthand of the same oppressive experience. I was so conflicted. As a mom of a biracial child, I want her to be proud of all aspects of her identity. The fact that in 2018, this is still happening is mind-blowing. My question to you two is, do you think this is a problem of the antiquated system or lack of representation? For context, I live in Washington State, as liberal as it gets. Muchísimas gracias for all the laughs and mentally expanding conversations. Keep it up. Con mucho cariño, Magda. And I see a picture of the racial code that you're supposed to fill, and it says I for American Indian, A for Asian, B for Black of African American, W for Caucasian, P for Native American, and the bottom it says Hispanic. Should enter race code.
P for Hawaiian or Pacific Islander.
Hispanics should enter race code which most closely represents the individual.
Oh.
Shapeshifters! What do you think?
Well, I'm white, so I usually put white, but...
Sin tanto rodeo.
Yeah, that's it. This is actually very interesting because I've been... Now that all my jobs got canceled through summertime, so I have a lot of time on my hands now. I've been able to go back on Twitter, and I actually like Twitter more than Instagram now because, girl, Instagram is just becoming Facebook 2... electric boogaloo, and it's really annoying.
Yep.
I take a break from Instagram and I go on Twitter, and there was somebody talking on there about the census and how important it is to fill it out. But also for all you, the message was directed to all those Chicanos out there who feel very tied to the land and think of themselves as indigenous people. You're not a Native American. If you're Chicano, I'm so sorry to tell you that. And it's actually another way of colonization. Don't identify as Alaskan Native or American Indian if you know that your family is from Latin America. And I understand the border crossed us. We didn't cross the border. And some of you got, you know, like, but... Be real, people. It's like all these white people, like, yeah, I got a little Cherokee in me. Like, okay, we get it. But then again, what do you pick, right? Because none of this code describes how I feel I identify. What would you pick, Babelito?
You know what? In this case, we have to go with the system, because if we make it personal, we are not going to be accounted for, right? So
yeah,
you just have to go with what you think is going to give more visibility to your community. As much as it makes us uncomfortable to say that we're white or with this or that, like, you gotta do what we gotta do, man. You know,
and it's just incredible that there's not a Latino or Hispanic box
still, right?
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, because advertisers are just catching up to that trend. Remember, like, one of the things, remember, I think...
Yeah, but this is a government document.
Pues sí, güey, pero they run along because this is how this fucking government is. It's all about consumption. So this whole, like, these things in the government run along with what you see in advertising, because they're part of the same fucking system. So Latinx and Latino is just becoming a thing in the last couple of years, and it's not going to be an official thing yet. So I don't know what the boxes are for the new census. I haven't filled it out yet, but I will not be surprised if it's not present.
Yeah, please, everybody, I know that a lot of you already know this, but the census they don't need people's names. They're just counting people and trying to provide services to people. So it is important. I know that a lot of undocumented people are afraid to To be honest on the census, because hello, survival, and people are crazy. So right. I understand that you don't want you put your family in danger. But if we actually, this affects so many things, because the census is important also because of the antiquated bullshit electoral college and the system that we have in this town, but it actually does affect the amount of representatives per state. And so if we're not counting the people, that even undocumented people, those people are still being represented by somebody based on how many people live in an area. So it could switch the numbers of delegates per state if that shifts. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Okay.
And it is an antiquated system, what we talked about. And this is why it's so important. I know it almost suena como like broken record, but like this is why our conversations on the colonial period and the casta system are so important. I always show those paintings and I tell them there were like about 200 different castas that you could belong to in the colonial period. But then you look at the census and it's the same thing. There's so many fucking categories. So this shit hasn't changed. But again, at the end of the day, you know, like Big Brother needs to know who we are. And sometimes visibility, as we mentioned, is important when it comes to the way that we are represented in government, is definitely important. So I'm sorry, Mimi, take your feelings away from it and your own personal struggles with identity. And you just got to do what you got to do.
Aleluya.
Amen.
Gloria sea al Señor. Okay, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. All right, I'd like to take this moment to thank our comadres. We have a lot of comadres now, so I'm just going to start reading. Alejandra, Alexandra, thank you.
Alonso R., muchísimas gracias.
Andrea Q., we love you.
Angela A., muchísimas gracias.
Anita R., you're a real one.
Anne L., muchísimas gracias.
Anthony R. Hi.
Barry. Come on, Barry. Muchísimas gracias.
Hashtag podcast in color. Hashtag pod in. Camille S. Thank you.
Chelsea M. Muchísimas gracias.
Cynthia J. Muchísimas gracias, tú.
Dan. Merci beaucoup.
Dan the man. David. Thank you, David L.
Dulce P. Grazie.
Erica, thank you.
As Barry B, muchísimas gracias.
Oh, I like that name.
As Barry.
Gabriela O.
Gabriela S, muchas gracias.
Germán M, thank you. Top of the morning to ya. Wait, that's Ireland. What do people in London say?
I have no idea.
Hello, that's what they say.
Grecia R, muchísimas gracias.
Greece MR, Greece is the word.
Hector D,
grazie.
Janet R, yes you
Jessica,
are.
Jessica, muchísimas gracias.
Jessica V, thank you.
Josué R, merci beaucoup.
Josué R, actually Josué Ramírez, who is an amazing artist. Google Josué Ramírez, you guys. He's awesome. He's Ramírez on Instagram. Great art. Catherine M, thank you.
Lauradora Ni N, muchísimo.
You got that?
Lauradora Nueva.
Lizzie, thank you.
Lucía A, gracias.
Lidia, gracias.
Magali E, gracias, amiga, a mi comadre.
Marisol.
Melissa G.
You are my sunshine. You are my sunshine, Mary.
Melissa G, crazy. Muchas gracias.
Michael, thank you. It's Lit.
Mingo C, gracias.
What does the C stand for? Okay. Nick B, thank you.
Osiris, oh girl, you're a madrina. Change categories. You're not gonna get the merchandise. I love you, sister.
Yeah, girl. Okay, everybody, we changed our Again, we changed our categories so they're a little bit cheaper. So just go onto your profile and change it so you get the perks. And remember, update your profile so that when I start sending like piñata hot Cheetos, you'll actually get one. Okay, thank you. Who's next? Raciel C. Oh my gosh. Shit You Don't Care About podcast. Listen to them.
Robin M. Gracias.
Tanya M. Thank you.
Janet P. Gracias.
Yesenia F.
Yeshi L.
Ew, gross, 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 gross. I don't know why the Spanish accent just makes me like, gives me like, ugh. Okay,
las ñañas,
Yoli,
las...
thank you.
Muchísimas gracias again to all of our comadres. Again, this is wonderful help. We love you. We can't wait to show you what's coming. Gracias, gracias a todos on Patreon.
Yeah, and we're going to shout out the rest of our people on the next episode. So if you didn't hear your name, there are still more episodes this month, baby. And we're back again.
Okay, let's. You're next, and this is a long one.
Actually, let's wrap this shit up, bro.
Okay.
Do you have any recommendations?
Yes, I do. So...
Just one.
Yes, I'm going to just... Oh, this is a recommendation. This is an artist that we recommended in the podcast before. I think he was on our top albums the first time we did a Radio Lonchea. This is a new album by Nicholas Jarre. Nicholas Jarre is a DJ slash producer slash musician from Chile. And he did this whole retrospective thing before everything that is happening. And he came out with... It's a very dark album. I'm not going to lie. And I know these are not necessarily the time to be listened to that, but it's also very introspective. He is electronic, a lot of ambient music. And as I mentioned before, last year, I was talking about how much I've been listening to a lot of ambient music that allows me to concentrate. And this new album titled Cenizas just came out two weeks ago. So... Again, listen to Nicholas Jarre. Last year, his album Sirens, we were all about it. We listened to it. In 2016, we were all about it. And this new album is not as poppy. It's a lot more introspective. It's a lot more dark ambient music. But I think if you have the time right now, sit down and, as como dice Fabi, go into a dark corner. Like, this is the perfect moment for it. Again, Nicholas Jarre, album Cenizas. Get into it, loca. What about you?
Well, I've been actually not listening to as many podcasts as I usually do because I have had time to actually like sit down and watch TV and watch Netflix, which has been very interesting. I did end up watching all of Gentified because I was talking to Maite and she wanted to talk about it on her show with me, but. Yeah, it's very interesting to see that after watching Vida, you know, and like,
right.
I don't know.
It's a formula now.
It's a formula, which is really mm-hmm. weird. It's like there's other Latinos in California that aren't in Boyle Heights people.
Right.
But, there was a lot of touching episodes. So I know that a lot of people, maybe watch the first episode of Gentified and we're like, oh, this is bullshit. I'm not going to watch this. But I do recommend two episodes from it. It's episode 7 and episode 8, I think, are very powerful and beautiful. So you can watch it. You get it from the context of who's who and what the relationships are. But specifically the Brown Love episode is very beautiful. So if you want a nice cry... I do recommend that. And I've just been catching up on all my old favorite podcasts like CYC, De Colores, Nopal Queens. They're like a group of therapists or mental health professionals out of Sacramento. They're really awesome. Just old recommendations. And like I said, I will keep updating my podcast recs on latinoswholunch.com. And I know that you just started a new project, Babelito, that hopefully you will share on our website as well.
Yes, we've been working on some videos on the history of mestizaje and art history through YouTube. They're taking a long time just because we're doing everything and resources and time and money, everything. But what I decided to do is because I now am obligated to teach online, and the resources that are available for us to teach, I wasn't familiar with them and I didn't like them. And to assume that everybody was going to do Zoom meetings with me every morning, every time we have class, was just impossible because people's Wi-Fi's are different. People don't have all the equipment. And to assume that everybody has a great computer and great Wi-Fi is just fucked up. So what I decided to do is to start uploading the videos to our new YouTube channel. So I am uploading 2 classes per week. This week was Peru. Next week, we're going to finish with Peru. And then we're going to go into the 18th century. I believe there's a whole class on the Casta, so the stuff that we talked about here in the podcast in a much more professional, I mean, as professional as I can be as a fucking professor, way, I am talking about it in this episode. So the name of the channel is Unsettling Journeys. And again, I am posting my online classes from UIC for everybody to listen. Again, hashtag decolonize, and I don't like that word, but I don't have another one, decolonize knowledge. And hopefully by the summer, we will have other videos that are not just me talking about my classes and my PowerPoints. So get in them. I've been working really hard on them, and I'm actually very proud of the result and how they look and how they sound. So if you have any suggestions or questions, you know, you leave your comments right there. And I'm excited because it's kind of like we've been thinking and talking about this YouTube channel for a long time. And it's almost like this is the first step towards getting where we want to get. So again, Unsettling Journeys. And thank you, everybody who already subscribed up as of this morning. So yes.
Yeah. If you click on whatever app you're using, I'm going to put the link in the show notes and on the description so you can click directly to that YouTube channel. And Babelito, if you could do me the favor and update the website, maybe put it in your profile, like in your about Babelito.
Yes, and
just
I also
put a link.
Yeah, and also
put a link right there.
Yes, yeah. And I also need to update my book list because in the episode with Sandy Rodriguez, yeah. Shout out to Sandy Rodriguez, we talked about a couple of books.
Sandy.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And we talked about a couple of books that that inspire her process, and they're books that I use in my classes. One specifically by Diana Magaloni. So I will add those books to my list in the website and also a link to the Unsettling Journeys YouTube channel. So thank you for reminding me about that.
It's so wild how small the art world is. I was talking to a curator, one of my good friends now, and she's like, oh my God, you know Sandy Rodriguez? I'm like, yeah, I love her work. She was just a Latino Sula. It was so wild. It's such a small world, y'all. It's so cool. Hopefully we get to work together soon. That'd be so awesome.
That would be fantastic.
She had no idea that I was Justin Favela, the artist, which was hilarious.
I know. She texts me. She texts me a couple of days. She goes, did you know? I'm like, yes, I did.
It's amazing. Yeah, guys. Not only do I say dumb shit on a podcast every week, but I also make art. Buy my art. Please buy my art.
Please.
Because I don't have any more jobs for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I'm laughing, but really I'm crying inside. I have a show up in Vegas actually right now that not many people saw because of what's happening. And it's at this place called Test Site Projects. And so if you go on testsiteprojects.com, you can see my work. And if you want, you can buy a print. They'll frame them and everything for you. I made a lot of prints based on banana leaves from when I make tamales with my Guatemalan family.
And they're beautiful.
They're really beautiful. They're actually it's aluminium, like aluminum foil mounted on paper, and then they screen printed banana leaves on them, which they just look chef's kiss. And then I did some other spoofs of Ed Ruscha prints and Donald Judd prints that are pretty, I think they're really funny. But those are more for art people, you know, but you know, you gotta make that money, honey.
You gotta.
Okay, decolonize the canon, am I right? Okay. Let's end this. All right. As always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. Please send your letters to asklwlpod@gmail.com. I'm going to say it again, asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read them on a future episode. Send us fun questions too, guys. Maybe not about, I'm not going to throw shade at people right now. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to be more positive. Okay. And if you want to leave us a voice memo, record it on your phone and email it to us. I would love to hear your voices on the show too. I'll play if the questions are good, I'll put them on the show. Again, if you want to support us, you can send us money directly through our PayPal or through Patreon. Links are on our website, latinoswholunch.com/donate. And we understand times are tough. And so another way you could support us is by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, and by sharing this show with your friends, with other people. If you leave a review, please leave us 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Production assistance from Maite Sosa. Music by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
bye.
Ciao.